and share with us what they have seen in this church and how they have seen God's fingerprints upon this place. And I love the song that we just sang. You know, I will tell of the wondrous stories, and we're going to have testimonies this morning to what God has been doing. And as I've been praying this week about today, I ask God to show me, Lord, these people are going to speak about what they have seen and God's fingerprints upon this church, but show me the fingerprints that you have placed upon them as individuals. So this morning we have our first speaker will be Pat DeVoe. And ask the Lord, show me what you have, where your fingerprints are on Pat. And he showed me that his hands were like this, right? And that he was holding her and that he was supporting her, and that's where his fingerprints are on her. Does that echo with you, Pat? Amen. And so then I asked the Lord, Scott Shue is going to speak next. And I said, well, you know, where's your fingerprints on Scott, Lord? And he showed me that his fingerprints were on Scott's back like this. That he was guiding and nudging Scott where he wants him to go. And then I prayed for Gretchen, and I said, Lord, show me, you know, how you see Gretchen and where are your fingerprints upon Gretchen. And where God's fingerprints were on Scott this way, God's fingerprints were on Gretchen this way. All right, so both on the back, but in a very different posture. So that's what the Lord showed me about them, and I just want to invite them now to come and share with you what they have seen in terms of God's fingerprints on hope. So Pat, would you come up then?
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Don't I look relaxed and composed up here? I'm not. I'm a nervous wreck. So please grant me your grace. Ian has asked me to say a few words about how God has blessed me through this church during the past year. And there are no better words than God's. In Psalm 41:10, he says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I came to know the Lord when I was 11 years old. Throughout my life, God has shown me how he works during times of trouble. Sometimes you can see him working directly. We call those God sightings. Sometimes he delegates. Most of you are aware that last summer, I was diagnosed with breast cancer for the third time. I knew that he had allowed this to happen for his purposes, and I tried to be open to learning what he wanted to teach me. I also knew that sometimes his purpose is for other people, and I was willing to be used by him for that purpose too. But most of all, I knew that he would enable me to endure it, and that he would provide for me all along the way. What I did not know then, but I certainly know now, is the depth of love and commitment to his service that exists in this church family. That love and commitment showed itself almost immediately. We have many excellent cooks in our church family, and they started calling right away to offer meals. I got so many offers for help of various kinds that the congregational care team encouraged people to work through them to reduce the number of calls that I was getting. Over the months, people called to encourage me. And of course, many were praying for me. I was grateful for every blessing. One of the women in my Bible study said that God had called her to provide transportation for me to the many doctor appointments and chemo treatments. From August through June, except for a four-week vacation out of the country, she took me to every one, including three surgeries. When she told me about the vacation, I notified the congregational care team. There was a misunderstanding that it would be 10 weeks. So the word went out and 10 different women called to offer their time to drive me. Once the misunderstanding was cleared up, I was told there was a waiting list. Can you believe that? A waiting list to serve the Lord. How great is that? And how much does that tell us about the people in this church? I was also blessed with some beautiful pajamas and other items that boosted my spirits and made me feel special and cared for. I hope that my benefactors know how much those meant to me during such a hard time. When you feel lousy, your hair is gone, and you drag yourself from day to day, feeling special is an enormous gift. One of the lesser-known facts about serious illness is that even for people with health insurance, there are many hundreds of dollars in out-of-pocket expenses. When you're reeling and exhausted from the whirlwind of tests and treatments and appointments, it's easy to feel overwhelmed by the financial pressure. Several people in the church gave me monetary gifts. The Elders Fund, which exists thanks to your donations, also helped me to pay those out-of-pocket expenses. I am extremely grateful for those gifts. They removed the pressure and enabled me to focus on fighting the cancer. The treatments and surgeries are behind me now, and I am once again a cancer success story. So did God have a lesson for me, or was my illness used for his purposes in other ways? I may never know how others were affected, but I do know that he made me acutely aware of what this church provides for me. A family of believers who sincerely love each other for his sake, who willingly give their time and other resources to help those who need it, who lift each other up in prayer, and who provide a God-centered environment in which to grow in my walk with him. Not just this past year, but every year. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. And I'm sure that as you are blessed, I'm sure that those who were able to give and to serve for your cause were equally or more blessed. And that's the greatness of how we can serve. I'd like to introduce Scott Hsu. And Scott has been at Hope a little less than a year, but we're anxious to hear what he has to say this morning about what he has seen during his time here. Come and join us, Scott.
Good morning, everyone. Did anyone else notice that I was the only one that God was not drawing to himself but was pushing away? Gretchen, could I share God's hug with you later? I am going to give you an outsider's view and apologize for my lack of knowledge of the church, but in what we've gotten to know of Hope so far, we've been incredibly blessed. When Ian asked us to do this, I asked God to show me what the fingerprints were that he wanted me to see. And he immediately reminded me of the passage in 1 Samuel where God said to Samuel, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And I said, that's great, but I can't see the heart unless you show it to me. So he gave me a number of scriptures to put some flesh on what I see here at Hope. The first thing is, he took me to 2 Corinthians. He says, I, Paul, thank God, who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. And I recognize that one of the things that we've seen as God's fingerprint on this church has been the camaraderie that we feel with many of you in your service for the Lord, and how much you love God and want to serve God. And that has really warmed our hearts. We searched many churches before coming here and didn't feel that camaraderie until we came here. So we saw the heart that God has put into you, which is the same he's put into our family, and we're grateful for that. The first place we noticed it was in the worship. Isaiah 56, 6 and 7 says, and foreigners or Gentiles who bind themselves to the Lord serve him, bind themselves to the Lord in order to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, and to worship him, and all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these people I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. And one of the first things we noticed in worship was the sense of joy. It wasn't jumping up and down and hitting the roof, but it was a godly, divine joy that came through because I could see God's fingerprints in the worship. I really appreciate the excellent musicianship of the worship team, but what I appreciate more and see more is that they don't get in the way of me seeing God and worshiping God during that worship time. And that's unusual in a generation today that puts such a high emphasis on the external and on the awesomeness of the music and the band and that sort of thing. Here, the awesomeness of God is elevated. And I really love that. The next thing I noticed very quickly is that there's a hunger for the word. Psalm 119 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." And one of the things that has impressed me as God's fingerprint on here is the hunger and thirst that so many of you have for knowing God's word, for storing it up and cherishing it, writing it on your forehead, living it day in, day out. And it's almost intimidating how many of you have such a deep and sound grasp of Scripture. But that's an encouragement to me and a comfort to me that I see that. And no greater place did I see that, obviously, than in Ray's teaching. And we were immediately drawn by what we saw as the divine touch that God had given Ray, not just able to teach, but also able to inspire in a divine way. And I'm disappointed that he's not here, too. But here's what God's comforted me with in 1 Corinthians. Paul writes, "What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." I saw God's fingerprint growing this church through Ray's teaching. And I see God looking forward, growing this church through whoever he chooses. And I take comfort in that because I know that it was God. The next thing I noticed when I went on the men's retreat was an incredible sense of penitence and forgiveness. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For this is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy." Here's what he says. "I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit." And on that men's retreat, I was so impressed by the love that the men felt for God and the organization and the enthusiasm. But what was most incredible is how willing they were to confess their sins to one another and be on their face before God, ashamed of that sin, but also certain that if they confess their sin, that God is faithful and just to forgive them for that sin and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. And so the handprint of both the confession and the handprint of accepting the forgiveness and living that new life and walking forward in God was very evident to me. And finally, I see the Holy Spirit moving powerfully here. And I hope this will excite you as much as it did me. This was the last verse that God brought to me. And I think there's a really neat parallel here. Romans 5:1-5 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." And then listen to this phrase. "And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit through whom he has given us." The love that we see is a humongous fingerprint of God. The love inside of you, which God has poured out into your hearts through the Holy Spirit. But when I read that phrase, "and hope does not disappoint us," obviously, you know, no institution of man, no church can go without disappointing us. So I don't want to say that the church hope is not going to disappoint you. And neither, literally, is hope itself, the spiritual gift hope, neither is that going to not disappoint you, because it is in whom we place our hope that will not disappoint us. But that was a real encouragement to me, that the love of God, which has been poured out in your spirit, is a huge fingerprint of God, and that's not going to leave.
Thank you very much, Scott. It was interesting that you mentioned the men's retreat because one of the things that happened at the men's retreat, we stood out by the lake one morning early, and we stood on this dock up over the lake, and all 30 men or so came up to the edge of the dock. And I said, you know, look out on the lake. What do you see? And they couldn't see anything because there was this huge fog bank over the lake. So everybody said, well, we don't see anything. And I said, well, great. Welcome to the Christian walk. And it is a walk of faith. And I think a lot of us feel like we are there right now, standing on the edge, looking into the fog. And it is a walk of faith that we are called to. And I think Gretchen Schimmelpfennig is a great example of being willing to enter into that unknown over this past year. And I'm sure she'll share something of that with you. If not, I just want to let you know that she has made that choice, and she's made that walk of faith. So I commend you greatly for that, Gretchen. Come and share with us.
Morning. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. That's why I'm up here this morning. Out of obedience to the Lord, I can't help but speak and share with you guys the hope that God's put in my heart. I'm going to take you on a little journey back 2 years to the present, and then just a little picture of a vision that God's given me for the future to encourage you. If you'd go back with me a couple years, you might remember Hearts of Prayer Everywhere, prayer emphasis that we had here at the church. And it was during those months that God began to just place in my heart a desire to go deeper with him. I was having my daily quiet times, which were rich. I was journaling, memorizing scripture. And but God was just calling me to a deeper place. And so I started attending all of the corporate prayer evenings and signing up for the prayer watches. And God said, deeper still. And so then he led me to go ask the prayer ministry team, would it be possible for me to join you guys? And after a summer of discerning, I was given the green light. And so now jumping forward through participating on the prayer ministry team for a year, God has shown me in that deeper place an intimacy with him that I never could have imagined. And I'm continuing to learn through prayer a little bit more about that intimacy that he desires for each one of us. Now, in that process, in that place, one of the key tools that God has used to draw me deeper and enable me to share that intimacy with him has been learning how to listen and wait to hear from the Holy Spirit. And I've learned that if I'm willing to wait, and it's a discipline, that God will instruct and counsel me by his Spirit. And he typically has used scripture. He'll bring scripture to mind, but he also uses pictures, and really powerful pictures, some that I understand immediately, others that take a little time for God to reveal more of that. And this is the place where his word and those pictures, always the intent has been to demonstrate his love. In one way, shape, or form. Sometimes that love is just directed toward me, and sometimes he gives me a picture or a word of scripture to be shared with another individual. And some of you have been recipients of that, and some of you kind of scratch your head and say, okay, Gretchen, thanks, you know. And I just say, you know, it's from the Lord, you know, receive it. And then just recently, and God confirmed this just this past Monday, that he gave me a picture some weeks ago now, but it was intended for the body of Hope Christian Church. And so that's really the nugget that I want to share with you this morning. And in the interest of time, I'm going to, more than not, I'm going to read it to you. It was in, going back to July 15th, Sunday morning, prayer ministry team meeting before the worship service, and we were actually praying for this virus that had invaded Michael's body, and we were praying for him, and, you know, Lord, just get rid of that virus. In that process, I kept getting this picture of this deep wound, and it was like what I would imagine an untended knife wound would look like, and it just wouldn't leave. And we got finished praying for Michael's virus, and I said, Lord, I'm seeing this bacterial infection, you know. So I just spoke that to the Lord, not knowing what it might be or represent, but I just, you know, Lord, this is what I'm seeing, just, you know, whatever it is. And it was a week later, if you all recall, that we all got phone calls. And that following week, so this is the week of July 22nd, through prayer, God started to unwrap that picture that he had given me of the wound. And here it is. And this is for us, for the Body of Hope Christian Church. Okay, the wound represented the news that Ray was no longer going to be our teaching elder. The scripture that God gave me right after that thought was, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And I thought, okay, Lord, the elders delivered that message to us. They are my friends. They are my brothers in Christ. Faithful is the wound of a friend. And as a deep wound like that, we know that it's going to take a toll on us. And it signified a loss and even took some of us to a point of grieving. And, you know, this going through the stages of grieving that loss is, you know, anger, anxiety, fear, numbness, denial, all of those things. And so right on the heels of that thought, again, what God gave me in prayer, he started just flooding my mind with scripture, you know, cast all your anxiety upon me because I care for you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. So all of that, you know, God was giving me for us. Healing this depth of wound is going to take time, and we know that with any wound, physical wound, we have to keep it covered, as in protected. We need to keep it clean, and we need to keep those antibiotics flowing, right? And so in all of that, God said, you know, that is your role in prayer. And prayer is going to be the salve that's going to cover, keep it protected, and keep it clean. And my specific role in that, I just felt led to pray, you know, Lord, whatever, you know, I asked God that if there was anything that, or anyone that would prevent healing from taking place, that you would convict or remove. And we're still in that process. And we know that it's going to maybe be a little while before the redness at the wound site is going to disappear. And that's God's gift to us in taking time to grieve, taking time to heal. And so that's the picture that he's given me for us. And lastly, and probably most significantly, you know, with that depth of an injury, there's going to be a scar. And so as I was praying, it's like, Lord, scars are ugly. And but he said, no, this scar is going to be a reminder to us of his faithfulness to us. And most notably, and this is what I think I really need to read. Not only is this going to be a marker of Ray and Laurel's influence and investment in us, but will remind us also of the place and time when God counted us worthy to be tested because he loved us so much that he didn't want to leave us where we were. I don't know what all that means. I just know that it's a character growing, deepening process that he has us in right now. And the promise that he has for us in that picture that his spirit gave me is that the wound will heal. And he wants us to know through this the depth of his love for us. So God be the glory.
Thank you, Gretchen. Those are amazing words of encouragement. And we agree with you tremendously that prayer is going to be what that keeps us alive and brings us life. And just if you haven't seen it already, if you look in your bulletin this morning, we've lined up a whole fall of prayer events, and we can do more, too. So thank you all for your prayers through this time. I know many of you have been praying diligently. Anyway, let's pray for a moment quickly, and we'll move on. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this these testimonies. Lord, we thank you that you are at work here in this place. We thank you that your spirit is alive here. We thank you that your word of truth is paramount in this place. And Lord, that everything that springs from death to life comes through the knowledge of your word and the knowledge of your son. So we thank you that you have given us life, and we thank you for these words of testimony this morning to your grace and to your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. And Scott, by the way, those fingerprints on your back, the Lord is your rear guard.
How's everybody doing? Kids need a stretch? I promise you we'll dismiss you after this next section. All right. So I'm here to share with you today, about Ray and how he was a gift from the Lord to Hope, and how some of his things that he did really left his fingerprints specifically on my life. And then Eric will come up and share about how he influenced him as well. I started coming to Hope Church when I was still in college, and it was about that time that Ray was called. So that was 13 years ago, roughly. And I was still taller than all the Bandai kids at that time. That's been long since done, but that's how long ago it was. Abby went around with a binky in her mouth, so it's been a while. But as I look back over those 13 years, I think about the fact that Ray was my primary Bible teacher. He is the one who primarily taught me the Word. And through the partnership with the Holy Spirit and working in my life, he helped me hide the Word in my heart to memorize Scripture and to influence how I could come to the Bible. Ray was also a humble servant leader. He served me and my family, as well as this church, in many ways. And he also had a discipler's heart. And he taught me a number of tools and how to use those tools. So when I think of Ray as a teacher, what I did is I look back through my Bible. And generally, when he's teaching, I'll write notes in the columns so I can remember some of the truths that he taught me. So I wanted to briefly go through some of those with you. Starting in Genesis chapter 1, God created. And that means that he is intentional. And he talks to man. That means he is relational. These aren't in any particular theme or anything. It's just some of the things that I learned through Ray and that I have recorded in my Bible so that I can remember them and put them into practice. In Judges 2, in the column I have, partial obedience is disobedience. Ezra chapter 4, opposition is opportunity to trust God for his help. In Psalm 2, it talks about God's anointed, and that points to the Messiah. It talks about God's son, who is the king of God's kingdom. Just this past year, we studied in Daniel, and Ray taught us about the God who is, and he taught us many different things about who he is. In Ephesians, this was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, we set it out. It was a study for the new year, and some of the goals for our new year were to glorify God, to grow in our knowledge of him, to be holy and blameless, and to grow in unity. In Colossians, he laid out a process for proclaiming the word, Man prays, God opens doors, people speak. And then here's a note. Prayer is the key that God uses to open doors. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, God sent his Son so that we might know him, the Father. So Ray was a teacher, and he taught me how to study the Word. He taught me how to observe, how to interpret, and how to apply the Word to my life. He taught me that sometimes the answer is not either or, but both and. And he taught me that there is a spiritual world out there, and it is real. And as Nailani and I were preparing for marriage, both Ray and Laurel sat down and met with us week after week in order to develop oneness in our marriage. And those lessons that we learned during that time, the Bible verses we were able to apply to our lives, has been effective in our lives. Ray was also a servant leader. He's always served behind the scenes, doing all the things around the church that need to be done, but also helping others. I remember in the early days, back when we were in Lynch School, you know, Ray was there early in the morning setting up folding chairs and setting up the Sunday school rooms to get things done. But he also helped others in the congregation. Just in my life, he helped me build a closet, paint a dining room, and re-roof my house. So he was definitely involved kind of in life-on-life ministry. And Ray was also a discipler. Back those 13 years ago, he came down to Cambridge once a week, and we would meet at the S&S restaurant in Inman Square in Cambridge, and we studied the Word. He taught me how to study the Word for myself, and he also challenged me to avoid temptation and to keep myself pure. And we also did life together. One Christmas, I couldn't go home with my family, so I spent the Christmas weekend here with Ray and Laurel and their family. And Laurel had gotten both Ray and I these bucket buddies, kind of a toolbox, you know, you put into a big 5-gallon bucket. And as I think back, you know, I think about all the tools that Ray gave me over time. Tool how to study the Word, how to interpret Scripture, how to intentionally disciple others. And I think about that tool bucket, and that kind of symbolizes somewhat of that relationship that I had with Ray and the way he built into my life tools to be used for God. And I know that Laurel did the same. She worked in other people's lives. I know that she brought people clean sheets when their kids had kind of messed all the sheets and they didn't have any left in the house, to giving parenting help and discipling women, teaching them to learn from the Word and to apply it to their lives. So as I look back at the foundation that Ray and Laurel have laid in my life, I know that I stand on a firm foundation, on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And I consider all those tools in my bucket buddy and the ability to study the Word, a clear testimony, a bridge illustration, a plan for discipleship. My bucket buddy is full of tools to be used for God's glory. And these tools are to be shared with others. So I ask you to consider your tools that Ray and Laurel have built into your lives, the things that they have shared with you to encourage you. How does the Father want you to use those tools? And that you might consider applying the things that Ray and Laurel have taught you over these years for God's glory. So now Eric is going to come up and share with us some of what he's been learning through some time with Ray.
Hi. So I have to confess that when I started thinking about what I might say this morning, I started feeling my first reaction was a great deal of sadness and of loss. I was asked also to speak about God's fingerprints on my life as I've experienced them or how I see them, specifically through Ray's teaching and discipleship in my life. And so I felt a lot of sadness about that, and in large part because there's a lot of sadness and a sense of loss in the church, and I think rightly so. And I also realized I felt kind of unqualified to speak, because especially compared to someone like Doug and a lot of other people here, I can't really fully appreciate the depth of sadness for the same reason I can't fully appreciate the breadth and depth of God's work in this church over these past many years, because I haven't been here for many years. Exactly 20 months this week, I think. But then I started thinking about, even in my narrow personal experience, even in the short time I've been here, there's really a lot to talk about. There's a lot to talk about in terms of how I've experienced God, specifically through my relationship with Ray. And so I'll start there. About a year and a half ago, I missed this year's men's retreat, and I'm sorry, Paul, but I made the one last year, and it was a really good retreat for a lot of reasons, one of which is that I ended up in a small group with Ray, and there were a couple of other men in that group who were also relatively new to Hope Church, and in the course of conversation, Ray asked each of us what had brought us to Hope and what we were looking for, and for me, the answer was really clear, that for both me and Ruth, we had been really hoping and praying for a multi-generational community of Christians that included a lot of older, mature Christians who had walked a little ahead of us in life. And Ruth and I had come recently out of a church where almost everybody was between 20 and 30 years old. And if you can believe it, Ruth and I were some of the oldest people in the church. And at the time that we left, Samuel was the oldest kid in the church. And after a while, we really started feeling the poverty of not having older Christians who are ahead of us in life who could speak a godly perspective and model a godly example for us. And at times it felt very lonely and very, very tiring. And so we came out of that church very much looking for that, older, mature Christians. And so after I shared this, Ray asked, so do you feel like God is answering that prayer at Hope? And I thought about it, and I really could say honestly, yeah, God was really starting to answer that prayer in ways that were very encouraging to us. For both of us, in conversations that we had with specific people who were starting to get to know. And for me, the Wednesday evening Bible study group, the men's Bible study group, excellent group of guys, their perspective and their model. And so I didn't think much more of that conversation after the retreat, but a few months later, Ray approached me and said that he had been thinking and praying about that conversation, and God had really laid a burden on his heart, that if that prayer wasn't met in a very intentional way, for me, that he would feel like Hope had let him down and that let me down, and that God would hold Ray personally responsible for that, which I thought was a heavy load for him to take on himself. But and he said he would like to offer himself in that role for me. And I was floored by this. I was really honored by it. And I can be dense sometimes, but that time I recognized a good thing when I saw it. So I gladly accepted. And for the past year or so, Ray and I have been meeting up about twice a month, roughly twice a month, for breakfast a couple hours at a time. We'll sit over tea and bagels and talk for a couple hours about what's going on in my life, what's going on in his life. We've talked about how to read and interpret scripture, a lot of the same things that Doug had shared about how to talk to people who don't know Christ, old friends of mine who don't know Christ, how to talk to them about my faith, about marriage, about child rearing, about career, you know, the little details of life. One thing that's interesting about Ray is that he doesn't really look me in the eye a lot when we're talking. He'll sort of sit there across the table from me, looking off to the corner with his long fingers folded and one long leg folded over the other, nodding slowly as I talk. And at first, you know, I thought, is he not listening to me? But, you know, in the questions he asks and the perspective or comments that he offers me, I realize, yeah, he's really listening deeply. And then sometimes he'll share an anecdote, sometimes a long anecdote. Invariably, at some point in the conversation, he'll start nodding faster, and a smile will get on his face, and he'll shake his finger at me, and he'll reach over to his Bible, which he always has with him, and he'll say, like, that reminds me of this, or that makes me think of, or maybe you should take a look at, and he'll open up his scripture, and I'll know right where to go, and he'll just speak scripture into my life and the things we're talking about, and I really appreciate that about Ray, that over the months, I got the sense that he would sort of breathe in. He breathes in our conversation, and he breathes out scripture at me, and it's as natural as that. I've never felt like there's something forced or programmatic, and it's a very, very much an answer to prayer for me. It's without knowing it, that's very much. I wouldn't have characterized it that way, but that's very much what I'd been hoping and praying for years ago. And another thing I love about Ray is that he's not a charismatic commander type who stands up on a hill and says, follow me. You know, if you follow me, we'll get to Christ. But he'll just sort of point, very humbly, he'll point away. He'll say, look to the Lord, look to Scripture, and look at the person of Jesus Christ. And I feel like that isn't just Ray. I feel like I've really experienced that, and I see that a lot at Hope, that I look around, I see many people, and I sense a general character of people loving the Lord And more than any other church I've been at, people really loving Scripture and really studying it and knowing it and being willing to speak it into each other's lives. And, you know, we've seen, as Pat shared, as we've experienced for ourselves, people willing to pray for us and people willing to care for each other and live according to Scripture. And, yeah, if that isn't the fingerprints of God, I really don't know what is.
So as elders, we wanted to do something special for Ray and Laurel and the family. And we're not sure if we can do something with them in the future, but what we want to do is get kind of prepared for that and to allow each of you to be able to share some of the things that they've meant to you and some ways they've encouraged you to go deeper in your walk with Jesus. And so we're going to do a couple things. One is over the next 3 weeks or so, we'll take up a love offering for them. And if you want to, if you'd like to participate that, if you can write your checks out to Bob Zickel, that way it's all kind of behind the scenes. Obviously, it won't be tax deductible or anything like that, but he can make sure that that gets to them. The other thing we're going to do is put together a memory book. And so if you're interested in putting together some kind of more corporate memories or some memories that you'd like to share with them and we can bind up in this book, we'd love to do that as well. It's kind of a congregational memory and to think about the ways that God's used them in our lives. And thirdly, we'd encourage each of you to send more personal notes to them, just to encourage them about the way that you've seen them work personally in your life. Some of the, maybe share some of the anecdotes that you've experienced with them. We really want to honor them as they go and to give them just a fond a memory of the work that they were able to accomplish while they were here. So,
thanks, Doug. It's good to see God's fingerprints upon our church. And as we've said, Ray and Laurel were very, very large fingerprints, more than one, I think. And I have, and I think each of us here have a piece of Ray or a piece of Laurel that will be a part of who we are and spiritually. So we're going to dismiss our kids and give thanks. Come on up, worship team. Give thanks to God through a song. And those of you that have been itching to get downstairs, now's the time to go.
Good morning. Well, we obviously stand at a crossroads, and as we look back, as we do and is right to do, we thought it was appropriate also to talk a little bit about going forward, because I think that's something that obviously we're asking lots of questions about. So that's what I hope to do here for the next 10, 15 minutes or so. You know, in 1993, we were led by God to build a church here in Winchester, Massachusetts, founded on a lot of prayer that had been taking place over many years before that. And I think the concept that God brought to us, the image of the church that he brought to us, is firstly that it would be a community church, a small church of people deeply in fellowship together. And I think you've heard some of the things this morning about how those churches work together and the impact it has on people. The second thing that was critical for us, that it would be firmly based on the Word and teach the Word. And I think you would all agree that we have done that with excellence through Ray over these last 13 years. And before Ray was here, too, we had excellent Bible teaching as well. The third thing we felt is we wanted to be with people who were serious about their walk with the Lord. So this was not necessarily to be a seeker-friendly type of church. This was to be for the saints who wanted to go deeper in their faith and to help develop them in their faith. And finally, that we would have a passion for reaching the world with the gospel in whatever way we would do that. And as one of the ways that we did that from the very early days is to have a very active missions program. But more than that, to think about how to send us out in our workplaces and our neighborhoods with our families and friends, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in a winsome and winning way. Well, that initial vision was really captured over the next few years by the mission statement that we have today, which really has three major components to it. Number one, to glorify God. And secondly, by building a community of committed disciples, and that's the community aspect of it. And finally, obviously, to having an impact both locally and around the world. And that's really been the watchword, and that's been the focus of this church ever since its foundation. As one of the founding elders, you know, that was the mission right from day one, and that continues to be the mission today. And I think over the years, we've grown basically by seeking God's will for this church. We have not really driven this church by programs. We have really waited on the Lord to see what he brings. We've listened to God's leading in prayer. We've listened to God's leading through the use of the scripture, as Erica talked about earlier. We've grown this church and thought about what to do next by the kind of people that God has brought together and the gifts and the talents that have come together. And finally, just by the doors and the opportunities that God has opened for us, we've taken those opportunities. And I think over the years, God has blessed us and used us richly as a church. And I think we can look back over the years at the things that God has done here and be really excited about what God has done in us and through us during this period of time. And we anticipate that God will continue to use us powerfully as a church going forward if we continue to be faithful to listen to his leading for this church. And that's exactly how we intend to walk forward from here, is to do it the same way, to be obedient to God's leading for his church here, listening to him, listening for his will for Hope Church as we move forward. And I have to say that as elders, while we felt some pressure over the last few weeks to be very prescriptive in terms of, so exactly what are we going to do and what's it going to look like and this, that, and the other, we've really resisted that because we don't want to draw conclusions before God brings us to the place where we feel he's led us. And so we're going to take time over that process. However, I think there are some things that we know, and I'd like to share some of those things with you this morning. Firstly, we will continue to focus on that mission statement. If you think of that mission statement, there are really three pieces to it. Number one, to glorify God. You know, Bill Bright wrote a book some years ago about the church, and he called it The Church Without Walls. And what he really wanted to say was that there was no ceiling because we wanted to have uninterrupted view of God, so no ceiling. And we wanted to have no walls because we wanted to have an uninterrupted view of people in the world who are lost that we wanted to reach. And really, that concept of no walls is one that we share here. On the one hand, we want to glorify God upwards. We want to impact the world outwards. But one of the key ways that we do that is by building a community of committed disciples in this place and in this building. So those are the three focuses. And all of our activity should drive towards those three objectives. We need to be glorifying God, we need to be building up the body, and we need to be thinking about how to take God's truth into the world. Those are the three things that as a church we need to be doing. And all of our activities need to be driven towards those three objectives. Now, clearly there are many ways that you do those things. And there are many ways to think about that, and that's what we wait for the Lord to give us instruction on, exactly how do we do those things. Not that we should do those things, we know we should do those things, but how do we do that? Either programmatically through what people he provides, what leading he gives us. And I think right now one of the words that as elders we feel very strongly that the Lord has given us is that God is stirring up this church. And we don't know exactly how that looks like, but this is a time of change and a time of stirring up, and we're excited about that. We're excited to see what it is that God will be doing with us. In the short term, there are a number of things that I'd like to announce today because we do need to move on and continue to run the church as we move forward. So here are some answers to some questions that were commonly being asked and some decisions that we have made. Firstly, people say, well, who's going to do the teaching? Excellent question. Teaching is the first and one of the foremost aspects of this church, and we want to continue to have it that way. The teaching in the near future, Michael Davis will be teaching from the pulpit starting next Sunday, a series on Genesis. That will be a 12-week series on Genesis coming straight out of Scripture. He will actually be teaching in the morning here for the morning service and then teaching in the afternoon at the Genesis service. So please be in prayer for Michael as he does that. Obviously, he only has to prepare once, but that's a very full day, and to be teaching twice during the course of the day, and with probably slightly different emphasis or style, I would hasten to add, that's something that we can be in prayer for Michael of. Over time, we'll think about whether there are other people that we'd like to invite in. We've been in conversation with some folks up at Gordon-Conwell. There are good teachers available if we need to move to further teaching. But we're going to start, and Michael's been very gracious to offer, and we think it's wonderful to have our associate pastor. And many of you have sat under Michael as he teaches and know that he's an excellent teacher. At the same time, we clearly need to find a full-time teaching elder, and that's what we have engaged right now, a search committee. David Chamberlain is the head of that search committee, and I would David's just come back from a two-week vacation, so we haven't had time to coordinate yet, but I would think within the next week or so that committee would be called together, and we'll begin the process to find a teaching elder to come to Hope Christian Church, whose primary focus will be to teach the Word of God to us here in all its facets at Hope Christian Church. So that's the teaching side of things. From day to day, because we've heard today about so many of the things that Ray did in the background, those things have got to continue. There are ministries that need to continue to run and be led and guided. And from day to day, Ian Whitfield has agreed graciously to basically work full-time for the church in the near future to do all of those kinds of things, and we really appreciate Ian's willingness to do that. Let me just take an aside with Ian for a moment. One of the things that, as we think about going forward, we know that in addition to adding the teaching elder, we need to add more capacity to the staff. Because it's, the church now is larger than just a teaching elder can manage. And so we are thinking about how to expand capacity to the leadership team, the staff full-time team, I should say. And Ian has been on a journey, which I think one day we will hear from him on, a journey of seeking God's will for his own life. And has, I think, very clearly been led by the Lord to move into full-time ministry. And as we look at that and we look at the needs that we have at Hope Christian Church, somehow we believe that Ian should come and do his full-time ministry here at Hope Christian Church. How that looks and exactly how it works, we haven't got everything figured out yet. But please be in prayer for Ian and the elders as we think about how that might look as we go down the road here. The third thing is prayer undergirds everything we do here. I think a major transformation took place in this church 2-3 years ago as we went through the prayer initiative that Gretchen has already talked about, and we want to continue that. Again, Paul has said that inside your bulletin, you will see a prayer schedule for the coming weeks and months, and we'd really urge you to be involved in that individually and corporately as we move forward in prayer and look for God's will for this church during that time. Sunday school, moving forward in Sunday school. Next week, Jenny DiMuzio will give you, she is in charge of all Christian education for youth, and she will next week give you a rundown of the new curriculum we're going to be using, which is exciting. We're fully staffed with teachers for our young people. So next week, Jenny will spend more time telling you about that. Let me just say for adult Sunday school, Scott Hsu has agreed to teach Sunday school with me, so it'll be myself and Scott will be teaching adult Sunday school. Again, that will start on the 23rd, and we will be back just looking at a couple of books from the Bible. We'll be looking at 1st and 2nd Peter. So we'll be doing just a straightforward study, an in-depth study of 1st and 2nd Peter in adult Sunday school. And finally, in youth, we have invited Doug King, David King, and he has... David King, and he's very graciously agreed to double up his time here at the church. He was doing 15 hours a week with the senior high and is now going to spend 30 hours a week with us doing both the senior and the junior high. And for those of you who've got to know David over time, the kids really love him. We love him too, and we're really appreciative of that. And apparently he's maintaining like an A average at Gordon-Conwell while he does all this. So I don't know how he does it, but God bless you. You can pray for that. So anyway, David will be looking, and obviously Michael will continue oversight, and we will be looking for volunteers for that. So, you know, one of the things as we think about going forward is we will be looking for volunteers to be helping out, and so one of the things is to be thinking about how God may be leading you to help in some of the areas that we have needs for, which we'll make more known over the coming days and weeks. But let me just say, as we commit to you as elders as we move forward, that we will fervently seek God's will for each and every decision that we make. We're not setting a specific timetable. We're not setting a specific programmatic approach that we need to have done by a certain time. Lots of people have reminded me over the last 2 weeks, this is not running a corporation, this is a church. And we absolutely agree with that, and we just need to follow God's leading. We're not going to be able to do everything that needs to be done until we're fully staffed, and we'll just do the priorities. And so far, the priorities of teaching and prayer are the two that we feel most strongly about, and we think are the backdrop and the basis of this church. And so those will be the things. And obviously, over time, we will be able to expand into other things as we go forward. So we ask you to pray for us and Hope Church as a whole as we go forward. This is clearly an unsettling time. For some of you who may be visiting here for the first time, you might be saying, wow, this is a... what have I walked into? But it's a traditional when teaching elders or senior pastors leave, you go through times of transition like this, and this is an unsettling time for all of us. And we understand that. And I would say for some of you who came primarily to hear Ray's preaching, the reason that you came to church is now, Hope Church is now being taken away. And we understand that too. But let me just say that, church is so much more than simply listening to sermons. This is the community that God, this is the family that God has us to belong together with here on earth, to work together for his glory and to take his word out into the world. And so as you begin to think about what God might be calling you to, I think this is a good time to just be asking yourself the question, this time of transition, is Hope Christian Church the place that I want to be serving the Lord? Is this where God is calling me? You know, I want to be quite clear, and as elders I express this. If God's calling you away from Hope Christian Church, just come tell us, and we will bless you on your way. We just want you to be where God wants you to be. If, on the other hand, you're feeling no such calling or, making maybe even decisions in the flesh, which is what Ray warned us against when he announced his decision some weeks ago now, we urge you to pray over that decision. And to get a clear leading from God, either a clear leading from God to move on or a clear leading from God to stay. Because ultimately that's what we want, is we want our prayer is simply that God's best for your life takes place. So what does all this mean for you here at Hope? Well, I want to say the following things. Hope Church is a church whose head is Jesus Christ, period. And that's why we focus on prayer. And that's why we focus on seeking his will. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborer builds in vain. And we just state that very, very clearly. Unless God is in this, we are all wasting our time. And I feel that very, very strongly. And as elders, we feel that very, very strongly. We feel that God is building this house, that Jesus Christ is building this house. And we'd love to have you along to join us in this whole process. Secondly, Hope Church is a church whose goal is to glorify God. That's our primary goal here, is to glorify God as a community, but also as individuals. In what we do, but also in who we are and how we do things. Hope Christian Church is a church where the Bible will be preached in its entirety. We stand on the authority of Scripture. It is God's revelation to us. And as I think has been witnessed by the folks that have spoken this morning, it is one of the most important aspects of our church and will remain so, that we will be a church where the Bible will be preached in its entirety, even in the difficult passages. Hope Church is a church where you will be encouraged to deepen your walk with the Lord, that disciple-making will take place, that we will be challenged to go deeper with the Lord. Gretchen already mentioned the line, I think Gretchen it was who mentioned the line, or maybe Doug. Ray always used to say, God loves you just where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you there. And that's exactly the way we feel about that. God loves you just where you are, but he wants to move you on. And that's what we feel is an important responsibility as a church to you, is to help you move along. Hope Church is a church that has and will have a growing passion for people around the world. People who are less fortunate, people who are spiritually dead, people locally, and people who are in the world. We are surrounded by people who are dead in their transgressions. And we are the lighthouse, and we need to be that lighthouse. And if it's all about what goes on in here, that's necessary, but it's not sufficient. And at some point, we need to be marked as a church that is making a difference in the world as a whole. And finally, Hope Christian Church is a church that will encourage you to exercise the God-given talents and gifts that he's given you in building this body, in community and with one another. You know, and this is the vision for Hope Church and for all of you as part of the community. And as I say those things about the church, I would also encourage you to think about those things in your own lives. You know, are you a person whose head is Jesus Christ? Are you a person whose goal is to glorify Jesus Christ? Are you a person where the Bible is thought of and considered and believed in its entirety? Are you a person who's being encouraged and thinking about deepening your walk each and every day? Are you a person who has a growing passion for people in the world, wherever they might be, for whatever circumstances they may be in? And are you a person who's thinking about what are your gifts and how to exercise them for the good of the body of Jesus Christ? So while it's a corporate set of objectives, it's also, I think, an individual set of objectives that we need to think about very clearly. So we look forward with excitement to watch how God's going to continue to build the church. We look forward to being in community with each other. This is our Christian family here on earth. And we need to be responsible for each other as a Christian family. And we look forward to walking together, as Paul would say, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The only place that gets done is within the body of Christ, working together. And that is our prayer for this church. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you that you are the head of this church. And we thank you that you have led us through the years, our early years, for calling Ray, for Ray's ministry with us. And now as we move forward, and we just pray that your leading on us would be so clear. Thank you for the gift of the community and the family that we have here. Thank you for the depth of knowledge and desire of people here to know you more deeply, to know Scripture well, to reach those that are lost and hurting in this world. And Lord, as we go forward and make decisions, we just pray that you would guide us. Have us do the things you want us to do in the time frame that you want us to do them. We pray especially for the search committee as they begin to look for a teaching elder to come and be the regular teacher of the word to this community. And Lord, as we think about Ian and his role for the church, I pray that you'd continue to support him and guide us in those decisions. For Michael, Genesis, the youth team, all those that are going to be teaching and volunteering in the coming weeks, we thank you. And Lord, we would just pray that everything that we do would glorify you. That the scar that we would have that would remain, that Gretchen talked about earlier, would remind us of the scars that you bear because you gave up your life for us. And Lord, that we would become living sacrifices for you. That we would dedicate our lives to responding to this perfect gift that you've given us. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak to every one of us here in these coming days and weeks. Just speak to us about how we can help, how we can pray, who we can talk with, how to share the love of Christ. And Lord, that we would become your ambassadors here, that we would be the aroma of Christ in the communities that we live in, the families that we are a part of, and that you would be pleased and glorified. In your name we pray. Amen.
As we were thinking about all that we might want to try to include today, the idea came to us from somebody in our midst about focusing on our name, Hope Christian Church. And it resonated loudly with us all. Have you ever wondered why we're called Hope Christian Church? Most of you know, I think, that I rode my bike across the country in May, and I must have passed literally hundreds and hundreds of churches. The First Church of Grace Community, Bethany Chapel, Rock Harbor, or my favorite, Ebenezer Chapel. Imagine we were called the Third Ebenezer Chapel of Winchester, Massachusetts. But we're called Hope Christian Church, and I picked up the phone to try to find out from David Chamberlain, who was one of the people who was here at the very beginning, why were we called Hope Christian Church? And he said, well, it came down to two names, Wildwood Fellowship or Hope Christian Church. I'm glad they chose Hope Christian Church. I don't know what I'd say on Wildwood Fellowship this morning. Kind of wild. Well, obviously, there's a piece of this that has to do with hope and a piece that has to do with Christian, and I think we know what church means. But we're called Hope Christian Church. What does the word hope mean? Well, I looked up Webster's, and this is what it said. First of all, it's the feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that events will turn out well. The feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that events will turn out well. The second definition they gave is this: to look forward to with desire and reasonable confidence. Reasonable confidence. We say, I hope it will work out. I hope she'll get better. Or, I hope I'm going to make a lot of money so I can give it away to the Lord. That's how we use the word hope. But what does the Bible say the word hope means? Sandy, put up on the screen these three words. I'm going to try to read these with Webster's dictionary in mind. Let me see if I can do this. Be strong and take heart, all of you who are reasonably confident in the Lord. We wait for the Lord with the feeling that what we want is going to work out. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the reasonable confidence that you have. Is that what the Bible's saying here? That we're only reasonably confident? Obviously, the Bible has some other meanings of the word hope. And in fact, hope appears many, many times in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the word hope is used more to express the idea of safety, security, and trust. It can almost always replace the word hope with the word trust. And it's in the sense of a firm and certain expectation. So let's read these scriptures together. Would you read with me? But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. And you could put trust in each of those two. And then there's two very well-known scriptures that we quote often out of Isaiah 40. Let's read this together. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And out of Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So in the Old Testament, the word hope has a lot to do with trust, security, and safety. And there's a certainty about that expectation. In the New Testament, the word hope is used in two different ways. Primarily and firstly, it means a joyful expectation of eternal salvation. Listen to 1 Peter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. A living hope, an inheritance. In Hebrews 6, the writer is talking about Abraham and how God has made certain promises to Abraham that can be applied to us in this day. And he talks about God being the promiser, but also that God swore in his own name as the guarantor. And so this scripture comes, Hebrews 6, verse 18, says, God did this so that by two unchangeable things, that's the promising and the guaranteeing, by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. Don't you love that? We who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. And then it says this: we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And the second use of the word hope
is even more incredible, and it has more to do yet with the glory of God and even to Christ himself. In Titus 2 it says this, "While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." There's an anticipation of the glory, but there's the anticipation of Christ himself. And then in Colossians it says this, "To them," and he's talking about the saints, "to them God has chosen to make known the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." I think of that song that we often sing, "Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts." So for the Christian, the word hope means confident expectancy, trust, and security based on God himself, Christ, the hope of glory. The non-believer has no hope. The believer has hope. And we look forward at this time to God's hope in us, God's life in us. Andy said it earlier, we're, as it were, at a crossroads or a fork in the road. We often are, aren't we, in our personal walks and as churches. We're faced with a fork in a road, a change of direction. And we've looked back and seen God's fingerprints upon us. But we're also going to look forward, and we have a choice to make. Are we simply reasonably confident that God is going to be with us? No, we have Christian hope that Christ is in the midst. So I'd like to finish by just reading these two scriptures. Hebrews 10 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess." Unswervingly to the hope we profess. "For he who promised is faithful." And then there's a final scripture that, if you look at your bulletin, is put on the bottom of the bulletin every single week. And I didn't do this, but as I was sitting there a moment or two ago, I thought I'd just change the way in which this is written so that we might say this together. I'll read it first of all as it's written. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Would it be okay if we said this together and we said it about us and we? So we're going to read it. "May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Let's stand together and say those words. "May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." These cards we've given to you. On the front it says God's fingerprints on hope. On the back it says signs of life. And then there's a scripture. "Love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice. Hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life." The Lord is the God of hope. We're going to finish with a song, a hymn that's well known to us. "On Christ the solid rock I stand." Team, come on up and we'll sing together as a body, and we'll have a couple of announcements before our lunch together. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." We'll pick it up a little. "When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds even a veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand." that we stand on you, the hope of glory in our life and in our lives. May we be filled today with that hope that is you, that a confident expectation, that certainty that you are here and that you are with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Have a seat just for a minute. We have a few announcements. In the bulletin, you'll see most of them. We're going to have lunch in a few moments, and I'm going to say grace, so don't let me forget to do that. We need to thank God for his constant provision to us, and that's going to take place downstairs, not outside. But you'll see that there are a number of opportunities to serve, to pray, and to learn. And I'd just like to highlight the prayer insert particularly for you, that just be aware. Please put those in your calendar. If there's any questions at all about what we mean by those things, talk to Paul Fleming, of course. Most of you have been around for a while, will know what our prayer watches are all about. But we've also got this new idea of spending a solid 6 hours before the Lord as a church, and that would be something that we would encourage you all to be a part of. Also, next week, you should know that we are still at 10 o'clock, no adult Sunday school, and the cheese will be with us, our missionaries will be with us, and it will be followed by a lunch downstairs for those who want to hear more about what the cheese are doing in the name of the Lord. And then the 23rd is the time we need to mark our calendars. We'll hear more about that next week, when life will change to our full program that will go through the year. Let me pray for us, and can we just thank Karen Vernamonte? Is she here? I bet she isn't. She's downstairs sweating over a hot stove or something like that. But we're going to thank her anyway, aren't we? So let's just thank the Lord for the food, and then be certain that you go and say thank you to Karen for organizing today for us. Father, we love you. We love you. Apart from you, we are nothing. Apart from you, we can do nothing. Jesus, you're the vine. We're the branches, and we're here for one purpose only, and that is to bear fruit, fruit of all kinds of shapes, sizes, descriptions. And we want to be those people who are grafted into the vine and stay clinging onto you, the hope of our salvation and the hope of glory in our lives. And we thank you for your incredible bounty of provision to us in this place, and for the provision of our daily food, and for this food that we're about to receive. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you downstairs. Hopefully everyone will stay and join in the fellowship.
Hey, for all you guys out there, I just want to let you know, we've got a softball game coming up on September 22nd. This is not a time to show off how great a softball player you are. This is a time for guys to get together, fellowship with one another, have a little fun while we're doing it, and hopefully we'll see you there. The field is to be determined at this point, but we're going to have it on September 22nd, probably from about 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., and again, you'll get more information next week. Thanks.
There is a hope so sure.